trust me? Do you trust me when you can't see it, that I can take the unseen and make it seen? When I take, there looks like nothing, God. I don't understand what you're doing. I don't get it. I can take what looks like nothing and make something.
Hey guys, this is Pastor Tommy. Thanks for joining us today at the church at Bushland. Man, we pray that your faith will be encouraged and inspired from today's message.
You may be seated, church. Got quite a few friends joining me up here. My job's not to knock it off. All right? I did good in the first service. May the Lord be with me in the second. All right? Well, good to see you, church. Missed being with you last week. We were, Melissa and I were out with somewhere around 37 couples in Glorieta, marriage retreat, great weekend, young couple that taught that, man, they're outstanding, beautiful, powerful, boy. So good to see each of you. Thanks for being here. Appreciate Kay last week. There he is right there. Appreciate Kay last week leading everything, taking care of the house, and so grateful for y'all. I know that was a good time. So I'm diving into a new series starting today. It's out of the book of James, just starting it today. It'll run about six, probably 7 weeks, right up to Turkey Day. And we're believing that by then it'll cool off. Whew, bless Jesus. At 97 yesterday was a little much. I thought I was going to get saved again. That's why I was like, that's a little much for October the 12th, God. but it was a great. And so this series will take us right up to that. And obviously the book of James, five chapters, it's power packed. There's a bunch in there. I told the first service the same thing. I can't do all of it. I'm just going to take about six or seven chunks is what I call it. It's kind of a manly word, but chunks. And we're just going to break it down, okay? We're just going to dive into it and see what God wants to say. So I need to preface a couple things before we jump in. So obviously James, half-brother of Jesus. But James, this is important. The book of James is written to Christians, to believers. Now, why is that important? It's very important, okay? Because as you read James, you have to understand that they are taking in the account that the fact that you are born again, which means you'll read it differently than a lost person would read James. Lost people don't usually get James, okay? Count it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. That, you know what I mean? That's hard for the Christian, you know what I mean? Flat tire again? Praise the Lord. Boy, just give it up for Jesus. All right. You got to get there for that to come out of you. Amen. So James is written to Christians. And so we'll look at it from that perspective because that's important. All right. So the title of the message, if you're in the titles, taking notes, all that stuff, is Profiting from Trials. Profiting from Trials. Now that's an interesting take because some of y'all are like, Pastor, you still up in an altitude? Because you need to come back down here with us. All right? What I mean is, we're going to go through trials. And the book of James talks about it. Jesus even said, in this world, you're going to have troubles. All right? But take heart, because I have overcome the world, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? So we already know we're going to face trials. We're going to... But what Jesus is trying to do through the trials is to get us to profit from it. That's what he wants. He said, well, how do you profit from a flat? The only place profiting from a flat, discount tire, right? What I'm saying is the trials that God takes us through, there's something he wants to accomplish. He's doing something. He's not out to get you, okay? He wants to make you more like him. He wants to do that through the trial, through the hard time. Now, we don't sign up for them. They just come our way. They're part of life, okay? Everybody has them, all right? So we want to learn how to profit from trials. I have a buddy of mine and a real good friend, and I asked him one day, I said, hey, man, how was your day? And he said, I got everything today that God wanted me to. He just kept on walking. I was like, what? And say it again. How was your day? And he said, I got everything today that God wanted me to. You ever, people say stuff and you kind of cock your head like, what? I was like, is that good? Is that bad? Was that a good day? Was that a bad day? Dude, I don't even know what you're saying here. He said, I got everything today that God wanted me to get. Can I say something to you? That is so true. If that's not true, we're in trouble. Because God's a sovereign God in control of everything. And there's no foot, no place that my foot lands in anything that comes my way that didn't have to go through God one way, all right? And so that's a big deal, all right? So we wanna learn how to profit from trials. So why can't things work out like they're supposed to work? You ever feel that way? Why can't things just work like they're supposed to work? I don't wanna go back to Lowe's again, all right? Why can't they just work like they're supposed to work? Amen? Why can't they just do that? Why can't people just do right, think right, and act right? Is that too much to ask? That's all I need. I just need people to do that. Why can't everything turn out the way I want it to? That's what Oklahoma's thinking right now. Sorry. I love you. Okay, so what? I had to get that in. I didn't do that the first service, sorry. Special gift. All right, so why can't my team always win? Why can't my son or daughter's team always win? Why can't things just work out like I want them to? And the answer is pretty simple. Because that would be heaven and we live on earth. If we got it all here, what are we looking forward to? You know what I mean? I mean, what? That's the deal. We want everything to go our way. We don't want that phone call. We don't want that disappointing news. We don't want that trial, that test or anything. We don't want to come home from vacation and we pull into the driveway and water's seeping under our garage door. I don't want to push the garage door opener. I just want to go back to the island, get my beach towel and lay right back down. You know what's coming. Hot water heated and flooded the whole house. Our junior went back in to use the potty and it stuck, all right? You know? But you don't want to, but you have to. It's part of life. It happens to everybody. It does. So that leads us to our scripture, James chapter 1. We're gonna begin in James 1, verse 2. Not gonna do 1:1. There's a whole message in 1:1. I'll catch it another day, all right? James 1, verse 2. If you'll follow with me while I read through verse 8, all right? We're learning how to profit through trials, right? James 1, 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives graciously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. Unstable in all that he does. How many of us, when trials come our way, the first thing comes up is joy? Oh, great, a flat. We've got the vehicle packed. All the spare is under all the stuff, and we gotta get all of that out and fix the flat, and oh yeah, it's 110, and the heat index is about 118. This couldn't happen in the mountains, it happens in Mississippi. Why a flat in Mississippi? Oh, it's hotter in Mississippi. Just hotter out there, builds character. You know what I mean? Why does stuff like that happen? And we don't go, oh, yay, great, hot water heater broke in. Oh, great, toilet doesn't work. Oh, great, this happened. Oh, you backed into that? You backed into that last month too. If you got that quick. I mean, this stuff happens, man. It just happens. And joy is not the automatic response. And we don't jump up and down and go, yay, yay, yay. But God is wanting to teach us something. And what he's saying in this is that we have shed our faith. It's the testing of our faith. And he said, well, I don't need my faith tested. I'm good. But he tests. So that leads us to what is faith then? What is faith? If he's testing our faith, what is it? We'll go back a couple of pages, or my Bible, maybe not yours, but go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 1. Hebrews 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Verse 3. By faith, we understood that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. That's very important, okay? Very important. If you have your own Bible, that's a good one to underline. Look down at verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. Now, what is faith? If I told you that I'm about to exercise faith and I come over here to this step, now I can look down, all right, in the physical world, my natural eyes, and I can see a step. But I'm telling you that I'm stepping by faith. Is that really faith? If I see what I'm stepping on, is that faith? It's not really faith, is it? Now, but if I came over here and I said, God told me to step on this step and then step on the ground. Well, preacher, there's not a step there, but there's going to be a step there. Do what? There's going to be a step there. Well, how do you know that? God told me. God said, step. And I, God of all creation, who made something out of nothing, who made visible out of what was invisible, I have the power to honor your faith by making a step before your foot lands. Now, I'm more confident of that step than you are. Why? I heard from God. You didn't hear from him. You're hearing what I told you God said to me. You see what I mean? But you didn't hear him. There have been many times in my life, and for Melissa and I together as a couple, that we stepped where there was no step. And our family thought we were crazy. Our friends thought we were equally as crazy. And now they're saying, that was a great job by y'all. That was really good. I'm glad y'all did that. That worked out perfectly for your family. All right? But what I'm saying is, sometimes in life, these trials come along and they test our faith. They test it. You say, well, my faith's good. I have faith in God. You have faith in God when you're on that mountain and everything's beautiful. I have faith on that God when everything's going well. My teams are winning, things are working out. These people that have driving license really do have driving license. You know what I mean? All my tires don't go out, everybody else's do. My hot water here, it's just been working for 17 years. I don't even know what's going on. It's twice as long as it's supposed to last. Well, don't talk about it. It's like the field goal kicker because it's about to go out, all right? You know what I mean? Don't walk by it. Don't even say anything. Don't even say water heater. Just walk past it, all right? You know, that kind of stuff. Sorry, stretching that a little bit. But don't go home and whisper in front of your hot water heater. There's a place for you. They'll take you there, okay? They'll take you there. So what I'm saying is, there's a testing time that comes for all of us. He wants to know, is your faith really in me or really in me when it's good? There's a big difference there. I got faith, yeah. But do you have faith now? So what is he looking for? He says, let the faith develop what? Perseverance. So what is perseverance? The ability to endure, to persist through challenges, through difficulties, through setbacks. How? With steadfastness, determination, resilience. That's hard as parents. We want to mow over our kids' problems so they don't have to go through them. You mow over them when they're kids. Who's mowing over them when they're adults? Sometimes it's hard to watch them hurt. It's hard for us to go through hard times. But when we go through that, the perseverance of being steadfast and the determination and the character that it builds us, the integrity that it builds inside of us is all qualities that God admires and he wants in each of us. And we wouldn't do it otherwise. Listen, I didn't like pop tests in class. The pop tests reveal something, don't they? They reveal if I do anything with that book besides eat it, all right? The test will always reveal the heart. And sometimes we really don't know our heart until we get tested. If you're reading out the New King James Version, that was the NIV. NIV says perseverance. The New King James says patience. That's probably why some of you bought an NIV. I ain't gonna have a Bible that has a word in it, all right? Patience is waiting without grumbling and griping. That's the biblical definition of waiting, of patience right there. Patience is waiting without grumbling or griping. You say, well, I'm a patient person. Well, I gripe a lot, but I'm patient. You ain't patient. Not biblically. Biblically, being patient is waiting without grumbling. That's hard. So what is he after? What is all the testing of your faith? What is all the perseverance or patience? What is God trying to do? Well, it says in verse 4, so that you and me might be what? Mature, complete, not lacking anything. You say, well, I'm mature. I'm 46. That's different mature. It's not what he's talking about. It's not what he's talking about. He's writing to whom? Christians. 46 mature, that's an age number. What God is looking for, whether you're 16, 26, 46, 66, 86, 106, doesn't matter. What he's looking for, and the mature is solid food. Deep in what? Mature in what? Word of God. Word of God. Faith comes through hearing, hearing through the word of God. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Tests and trials find out your maturity. They find out the level of maturity. You gonna act like a baby when you're 46? No, I'm mature. Mature in age, that's one thing. Mature in the word and in your walk with the Lord, that's another thing. And so when you get tested and when you find trials, your maturity comes out. How many of you have known someone a long time and they are a believer and you see them go through a trial and you're like, wow, they didn't react the way I thought they would. I thought they were at this level, but they like a kid. This is a, Paul says, I would rather have you on meat and potatoes, on meat of the word, but you're still on the bottle? Why are you at that age still on the bottle? Can we get off milk of the bottle and get on solid food? Stop eating chips and dip and ordering a water and leaving no tip, Christian, right? That's Sunday night after church. Ask waitresses and waiters. I had chips and dip and water, and then don't leave a tip. I'm like, take the Bible and throw it at them, right? What I'm saying is chips and dip last so long. Ribeye, steak, potato, stick to your rib kind of stuff is another thing. Get on the ribeye of the word, not the chips and dip of the word. This is right here what makes you mature. That's what he's after. He says, I'm doing this so that you might be mature in the word. You might be mature in your walk with Christ, right? Then he says, I'm after you being complete. Complete in what? Complete in Christ. I am now in Christ because I'm born again. I want to be mature and complete in Christ. How in the world am I going to be complete in Christ? Pretty simple. I want you so complete in Christ that you lack nothing. Like really lack nothing? Like really lack nothing. So when a Christian faces a trial or a test, a Christian, a believer, should not first run to the world in its remedies, but run to God in its remedy. You see what I mean? And I'm not saying it's bad to do that. If the world says this is what you do when you lose your job, what does the word of God say? When there's more month than money, what does the world say? Well, to the dad, the world says, well, you should work harder, get a third job, a second job, get all the overtime you can, work, 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 and get us out of this. Dads will do that and work themselves to death. Never see their kids. Go to work and they're 6 years old, come home and they're parking in the driveway at 16. How did that happen? And kudos to anybody who works that hard, because a man is a protector and a provider. But sometimes a man should lead his family in saying, what is God teaching me and wanting me to learn through this? What is he wanting me to learn? He's testing my faith. He's testing me. He's testing my perseverance. What is he trying to show me here? And if we'll lean into him, okay, he'll show us that. I don't know what that is, but he'll show us that, because he wants us to be mature, complete, and not lacking anything. Independently dependent upon God. Independent, dependently on God. Verse 5, kind of in the middle here. Verse 5, it's kind of looks like it doesn't fit. He says, well, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask me, and I'll give graciously wisdom. What's he asking for wisdom for? Because he's being tested. His faith's being tested. And he has to persevere through it, because God's at work trying to build him maturely, trying to make him more mature, trying to make him more complete, trying to have him lack nothing. And I need wisdom, God, because why? Because I don't understand. I don't understand why you're doing this. I don't get it. Doesn't make sense. I wouldn't do it that way. Why? After all these years, this happened. I've been with this company 27 years. They laid me off. Ticks me off, man. Makes me mad. Now what am I supposed to do? Now what am I supposed to do? Well, if you know he's after making you mature and he's making you complete and not lacking anything, and if you don't know what to do, run to the one who does. The wisdom comes of knowing who to go to, okay, when you don't understand. That's the maturity. See, if you're not mature and complete and you lack stuff, when that kind of stuff starts happening to you, you run out, you run away from God. Well, God, if that's you, I don't want no part of you. If that's how you're gonna treat me after 27 years, that's gonna lay me off. That's wrong. No. No, run to him. Run to him. He understands people running away from him. They ran away from him. His friends did too, even his disciples. He understands. He understands. But what if God is allowing this to happen so he can open this door to bless you to death? He just bless your socks off. I don't know. I'm not saying. I'm just saying it's true. It happens. I don't understand, Lord. I don't get it. Why? I was very, very close to my mom. Very close. My mom died way too early. From dementia, Alzheimer's. Didn't even know who I was last 6 months. I walk in a room, they bring her to me, she look right through me. Didn't even know who I was. When your mom don't know you, that hurts, man. When she's looking at you and doesn't know anything about you, it hurts. It hurts all the way to the core. All the way to the core. And many times I drove away. God, I can't do this anymore, man. What is this? My mom is awesome. I wanted her to be with Brett and Allie. Why, my mom dies early, man. My mom would have been an awesome grandmother. She'd been fun. She's spunky, silly, goofy, crazy. That's a grandkid's dream, all right? Why? And God said, just trust me. Just trust me. Just trust me, man. When Melissa's cancer came back second time, I'm like, God, I don't get this. First time, I Second time, seriously? Why? They say the 5-year mark is it. We were at year 7 when he came back. I already let it go. It's back in our lap, back with vengeance. It's ugly. Look at verse 6, James. You need to keep going. James 1, look at verse 6. What are you doing? 5 is the middle, kind of where's the wisdom? I don't understand, God. And then he tries to say to this, you're testing a faith. Look at 6. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. When our faith is tested, he tests what? He tests our surrenderance and our commitment to Father, to the Lord. God, I trust you. It's one thing to say it when you understand everything. It's another thing when it doesn't make sense and you don't understand. It's another thing. I want you to go to your Bible real fast. Go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18. This is Elijah. He's on Mount Carmel. At the time, there's a big battle that takes place because a lot of God's people are trusted in Baal and another God or another way. And he's trying to figure out why you don't trust in the God. And he stands before the people and he makes this declaration to them. It is a testing of their faith, the same test for us when things go our way. Look at 1 Kings 18. There's a lot to this story. You can read that this afternoon if you want to, or look at it this week. But I'm just gonna read verse 21, 1 Kings 18, 21. So Elijah went before the people and said, it's a great question. If you don't have an underline, underline it. How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, the God of the world, the God of this time, all right? If Baal is God, follow him. Then watch this chilling statement. But the people said nothing. Stood before the people. If God is God, worship him. If Baal is God, worship him. And the people said nothing. There's times when our faith is tested and find out who is really, who we're trusted in. Because that's what happens in our life. When we get tested and we go through trials, it really finds out who we trust in. Are we trusted in the world's way of doing this, or are we trusting God all the way? God, there's more month than money. We're not gonna make it. We're sinking here, God. We're sinking. I don't see how you're gonna do it. I don't understand. I don't see a way out. I don't know what you're gonna do. I'm telling you, God, I know you can, but I don't get it, God. I don't get it at all. I don't see it. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Been there? I don't see it, God. That's okay. Run to me, child. Run to me. Because I am the God who made something out of nothing. I'm the God who made everything visible out of everything that was invisible. You need more money this month and you can't see it. Oh, but I got it. Nobody stretch a dollar like God. Nobody will come through like God come through. Nobody. I wrote this phrase in my Bible in this chapter. Without a test, you only have the monies. But with a test, you have a testimony. Without a test, you only have the monies. But with a test, you have a testimony, amen. Every test in life gives you an opportunity to watch God come through. I don't see how you're gonna do it, God. Well, good, pull up a seat. You pull up a seat and all of a sudden, boom, you're like, wow, God is good. He is faithful. How'd he do that? I don't know. His name's God. His name's God. Without a test, you only have the monies. Oh, but with the test, you have a testimony. Revelation 12:11 says this, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You face a trial, you face a test, you overcome what? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, baby. Testimony. Hebrews 13:15 says this, through Jesus, only way to do it, through Jesus. Therefore, let us, the church, believers, continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of his lips that confess his name. You get a test, you get a trial, opportunity to have a what? Testimony. You can moan in it. You can stay there forever, just moaning and moaning and moaning. But a moaning has never changed a person's life. But I know many people that came to Christ from a testimony. I know many people whose walk with Christ was accelerated when they heard someone else's testimony. I know some people who stopped doing the addictive thing they were punishing themselves with because something happened in their life and they didn't know how to deal with the hurt or the pain, and they got hooked on something or addicted to something and heard someone else's testimony about how God took something and took nothing and made something out of it. Took the invisible and made it visible. Took a life that had given up on him and redeemed him and set him up here with a testimony. And they heard the testimony and they found themselves just like it and they stopped doing what they were doing. Why? Because somebody sat around a bar and moaned about it? No, because somebody stood up in the bar and said, let me give you a God testimony. And he told a testimony. He said, can you give a testimony in a bar? Yeah, you should. You should. Great place, great audience, by the way, too. Audience is important when you're giving a testimony. Ain't a better one than a bar. Give it up for Jesus in a bar, that'll draw a crowd. Promise you, try it out. Don't try it out. But you know what I mean. I just encourage my church to go to the bar. That's great. Woo! Get it back. It's gone. Delete. It don't work like that, all right? So what I'm saying is we go through stuff, amen? We go through stuff. Heck, you may leave here and go through stuff. A couple weeks ago, somebody left the worship service, had a flat before they got to the loop. I'm like, God, went to church? Seriously? You know they're thinking it. You know what I mean? So we go through stuff, but it's a chance for us, not the moaning, but testimony. Because you overcame it by the blood of the Lamb, amen, and the word of a testimony. So in front of you is something that Melissa and I absolutely fell in love with. This is communion. This is really ocean spray, but you understand what I'm talking about. So this is communion. And the second time the cancer came back, someone introduced to us the power of communion in the home. Grew up a good Baptist, loved my Baptist heritage, but it was only done in church. That's the only place I thought it could be done. You didn't have a suit and tie on. Couldn't take communion or couldn't serve it. They said, no, you can take communion anywhere. And sometimes when you go through stuff as a couple in a marriage, or you go through trials and go through tests, you know, like for us, I ran my way to God and Melissa ran her way to God. But I want to tell you something. Melissa and I, 1993, stood on May 1st in front of a church. She had her life, I had my life. We entered a covenant relationship to become one flesh. Y'all get me? So when, after that wedding, tests came, trials came. You're gonna run this way, or you're gonna come together as one flesh. Sometimes in marriage, we don't need to run to God. We need to come to God here. Don't run to yours and do your quiet time in prayer. Don't run to your prayer and go away. That's all good. That's beautiful. Nothing wrong with that. What I'm saying though is sometimes, many times, what God wants is for the trial and the test to galvanize and bring that couple, not separate places, but together. And communion brought Melissa and I together. It did. All right? So I'm going to invite my wife to come up and join me. She couldn't join me in the first service because she was teaching at 9. And so what we've got is just your typical grape juice. It's not Welch's because they wanted me to buy a 6-pack of Welch's. And I was like, seriously? Bad commercial for Welch's, but can't buy individual Welch's anymore. Yeah, not in the stores where I were in. And so this is matzah bread. We love matzah bread. Melissa and I do. We fell in love with it because, number one, that cracker we take for communion ain't very tasty, okay? But it's stuck in your tooth and you pick the whole time. But so matzah bread is really true to the bread that you would see today if you took communion. It's got these little bitty holes in it. The scripture reference for matzah bread is Isaiah 53:5, that he was pierced for our transgressions. You see what I mean? And by the punishment put on him, that was our peace. The stripes, when they fire this, they burn it. Can y'all kind of see that? It's got little stripes. So when you hold it, you see the holes. It reminds you that he was pierced for you. And the stripes, as they fire it, remind you that, what? By his stripes, we are healed. We're visual people, amen? So Melissa and I, when trials come our way, and they do, we're not immune to those. When hard times come and phone calls come, disappointments, when Brett and Allie force us to communion, you know what I mean? Sorry, Natalie. I love you. And Brett's listening in the broadcast room. But you got kids, amen? We're great. The kids are killing us. Right? So when that happens, don't Google how to handle it. He already told you. So not Melissa goes this way, her mama hurts. Dad goes this way, his dad hurts. This is what we do. We come together because I need her when I'm weak. She needs me when she's weak. Sometimes we're strong together. And when we're really in a bad place, both of us, he just comes on a little bit stronger to bridge the gap. If you're here today and you don't know, it's a great time to come to the table with the one who does know. And we simply take a little juice and we pour a little. And we pour a little. And we take our bread. And we just simply look at each other and we remind ourselves that this bread represents his body, which was given for me and her. And that by his stripes we are healed. And that our testimony comes by the blood. There's wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And if your kids are old enough, don't leave them in their rooms. Bring them out. Because we do this in remembrance of him. If you remember the Old Testament, they asked Joshua, "Can we pick them stones up?" He said, "No, we won't put them stones there. We're going to build an altar of the Lord." So when our kids come by, they'll know this is where God did what he did. This is a reminder of what God did. Don't hide from your kids your pain. Don't hide it. There's more month than money. Bring them in with you. So one day from heaven, you can look down when your kids do this together with their mate and when your grandchildren do it with their mom and dad. Because one generation will tell another generation of the faithfulness of God. So we take the bread. Hard to eat in front of people, isn't it? And we take the juice. And that usually follows a hug and a kiss. We'll just save you the pain, okay? Thank you, baby. And then we, together, trust God. Is this an automatic answer? Does this turn a bad phone call into a good phone call next time? Does the people that we just lost, did they come back? No. Nah. They wouldn't if they could. It just helps us be more mature, more complete, and lacking nothing. I want to turn the Bible, Psalm 46:10, just about done. It's a psalm we know well. Beautiful psalm. When you get that stuff sometimes in life, in the middle of all the craziness, this is the greatest thing you can do to remind yourself. Psalm 46:10 says this: be still. When she told me it came back, last thing I wanted to do is be still. I was mad. So mad. They said, once you get to 5 years, you're probably good. That was year 7. I'm like, God, seriously? Again? I was mad. I didn't want to be still. I wanted to throw something and hit something, kick something. Just being honest. But be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the nations. And I will be exalted on the earth. When you don't know, when you don't understand, when you can't see what he's doing, trust him. Run to him. Run to him. I'm going to invite you to stand, church. Invitation simple. If you're in that trial right now, if you're in that test right now, if you're in that season where maybe there's more month than money because it's hard today, you don't know what to do, and you're a husband, you're like, I don't know what to do. I don't want to take the overtime. I want to see my kids. I don't want to get a second job. I don't do this. I don't do that. Maybe it's get a second job and then lean into God and say, God, what do you want to do? What are you trying to show me? Whatever it is, I think God has a question in the house today. The question is simple. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me when you can't see it, that I can take the unseen and make it seen? When I take, there looks like nothing, God. I don't understand what you're doing. I don't get it. I can take what looks like nothing and make something. Do you trust God? That's the question. This altar's wide open. You don't have to come down here if you do trust him, okay? Sometimes you need to come down here when you're mad at him and you don't trust him. Trust me, he can take it. He's taking it from me. There's individuals in the back, couples in the back, pray over you. But this is your time. This is your moment. This is your moment with God. Father, we love you. God, we don't just love you, we trust you. Ain't real hard to love you, God. Pretty hard sometimes to trust you. So God, right now, we trust you. And if the individuals in the room or online, that they're just not there yet. Pastor, I love you, but I can't say that yet. I pray, Father, that right where they're at, you meet them. If they need to come to the altar and just surrender and just lay right here to meet with you, do you capture their heart again? God, whatever it looks like, this is a safe house and you're here and we can trust you. So Father, you move us. Holy Spirit, you meet us where we're at and you take us to maturity, to completeness, so that we don't lack anything. God, we love you again and we thank you. In Christ's name, amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today here at the Church at Bushland online. Hey, if you were inspired by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Just drop a message in the comments, or you could email us at info@thechurchatbushland.com. We'd love to hear what God's doing in your life. Also, man, if there's anything we could agree for in prayer with you guys, just text the word pray to 806-557-1800. We believe there's power in agreement with the Lord. And so if we could pray for you, just do that for us. And if you'd like to connect further with us through social media, just search The Church at Bushland. You can find out more things that are coming up here and get involved that way. And then if you'd like to plan a visit, we'd love to see you face-to-face. We have services here 9 a.m., 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. You can go to our website, thechurchatbushland.com, and plan that visit, and we look forward to meeting you that way. Finally, man, just thanks again for joining us. Pray your faith was encouraged, and we look forward to journeying with you in the days ahead. So have a blessed day.